The book of Romans, free from guilt, free from sin. In the book of Romans, Paul repeats through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit that salvation is a free gift. Times three, it is a free gift. When I was growing up, I thought, boy, I could work my way to heaven, be the best guy I can be, and do this and do that. And read the Bible and realized God loves me. And Jesus Christ paid for my sin on the cross. And He merely asked me to come to Him by faith. Ask forgiveness of my sin. And thank Him for dying for my sin. It's a free gift that makes us free from sin and guilt. We're in Proverbs this morning. Proverbs chapter 30. Solomon wrote Proverbs, or most of Proverbs. Here it says the words of anger in Proverbs chapter 30, verse 1. The words of anger. Some ascribe that was a nickname of Solomon, but some ascribe that, no, it was not Solomon. It's a different guy altogether. Does it matter? Not really. It's still the words of God. It's still the inspired words of God, preserved words of God. And we pay attention and we should be concerned with what the Word of God says and what we do with the Word of God, whether we obey it or disobey it. So these are the words of anger, it says in Proverbs chapter 30, verse 1. Anger means gathered or received among the sages, a wise man. So could it be Solomon? Yeah, it could be. It says, the words of Agur, the son of Jacob, even the prophecy. Prophecy here is burden. It's not going to, this passage isn't going to foretell something in the future. This passage is just the burden of Agur. And it says here, the man spake unto Ithiel, even unto Ithiel and Ucal. These inspired, preserved words of God speak to Ithiel. Ithiel means God has arrived. God has arrived. And these words are spoken unto Ucal, which means devoured. His name means devoured. And God speaks these words to us today here at Liberty Baptist Church in 2016. Whether we're saved or not, God has arrived. God arrived. 2,000 years ago in Bethlehem, He arrived in the flesh. God manifest in the flesh in the form of Jesus Christ, the incarnation of God Almighty. And God has arrived. If you know Christ as your Savior, you know that God has arrived in our hearts this morning. Amen. When we ask the Lord Jesus Christ to forgive us of our sin, God forgave us of our sin. God means what He says. He says what He means. When we call upon the name of the Lord, the Bible says, thou shalt be saved. And our sins are forgiven. We're free from sin and guilt, like the song this morning. And God has arrived. And the Holy Spirit lives and dwells inside us. Jesus says, I'll send you a comforter. And the comforter has arrived in our hearts. If we're here this morning and we're not what the Bible calls saved or delivered from sin, or we're not born again, we've not trusted Jesus Christ as Savior, God has still arrived. God has arrived and He's extending an invitation this morning. He says, come, come unto Me, all ye that are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Are you tired this morning of life? You tired of the despair, the discouragement, the disappointment in life? Jesus says, come unto Me, and He'll give you rest. God has arrived. It says here, even unto Ithiel and Ucal. And these words of God are instruction. It's a declaration of things useful to us in our lives. These are things written as an encouragement, as a comfort, as a reassurance of the promises of God this morning. The title of the message is Going Well for the Lord. And these words are written that we can go well in spite of. Hey, things can go well. We can go well. in spite of situations and circumstances, whether it be self-induced or not, things can go well. Going well for the Lord. Let's read Proverbs chapter 30, verse 29 through 31. Proverbs chapter 30, verse 29. There be three things which go well. Yea, four are comely in going. A lion, which is the strongest among beasts, and turneth not away for any, a greyhound, a he-goat also, and a king, against whom there is no rising up. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for this day. We ask you to please speak to us this morning. We give you permission, Lord. Please open our ears, open our hearts, open our eyes to your words this morning. Message from the Most High God, please, Lord. We ask that not only speak to us, Lord, that you give us a humble and contrite heart that we can respond, we can obey, and we can continue to trust and love you. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen. Verse 29, it says, there be three things which go well. Go here means a pace or step. Going would be walk. It's our walk. Are we walking well for the Lord this morning? These things go well. Yea, four are comely in going. When the Bible speaks of walking with the Lord or going with the Lord, there are adverbs throughout the Bible. Adverbs used to describe the walk with God and prepositional phrases along with those adverbs. I learned that in Mr. Bausch's class at Helena High. Adverbial phrases and adverbs. And there are adverbs and prepositional phrases throughout the Bible that describe how we can walk with the Lord. We will walk honestly. We can walk circumspectfully. We're to walk worthy of the Lord. In love, in wisdom, we're to walk by faith as children of light in the Spirit of God. Here it says, once again, in verse 29, there be three things which go well, yea, four are comely in going. Comely in going. Comely here means attractive. Attractive. That's a question for us this morning. Is our life, is our walk, the way we go, is it attractive to others? I'm not talking, when I worked there, someone was talking, and we were talking at the table there, the break room. I hardly spend any time in the break room, you know me, hard worker. And so we were in the break room there and talking around the table, and someone says, oh yeah, it's easy for you to say, Russ McCurdy, because nothing goes wrong in your life. And I said, you know, I do have plenty of things that go wrong in my life. It is how we respond. And so every one of us in here, whether we're saved or not, we have things go wrong in our life. Things unexpected. Things that we don't care for. Things that are uncomfortable. Things that make us sad. All these things, but we can still go well. We can still walk well. Our life can still be attractive to others. God doesn't call us to be a people without tragedy. He calls us to be a people that glorify Him in spite of tragedy. And when the Bible says, this is a hard verse, a hard scripture, be thankful in all things. And we can think of some things in our lives very, very hard to be thankful for. And maybe we're not thankful yet. But we're looking for that time where we can be thankful for whatever reason. Because tough times, either they've come or they're going to come. Maybe they're here now. And maybe this morning this message will help us go well with the Lord. That we have a comely walk. And that it's attractive to others, not because nothing ever goes wrong, but because we have a God in heaven that loves us. We have our King Jesus who's coming again. We have the Comforter that resides in us, that gives us that comfort that we desperately need at times. These things, these three things which go well, verse 29, yea, four are comely in going. Is our life attractive to others? The Bible says, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. But sanctify the Lord, 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 15, in your hearts, and be ready always. Not sometimes, but be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that lieth within you. Do we live a life of hope? Do people around us see a life of hope in spite of the circumstances, the situations, the tragedies that befall us? Is our life attractive to others because of the hope that lies within us? Even when we're devoured by this life and the feeling of impending doom, do we have that hope? Do we have that joy that, yes, God has arrived? In whom, having not seen, ye love, 1 Peter chapter 1. Though now ye see him not, yet believing, ye rejoice with joy. That's unspeakable and full of glory. Four examples here to illustrate going or walking well. It says, four are comely in going. A lion, which is strongest among beasts, a greyhound, a he-goat, and a king. From lion here, we should learn to be bold. Be bold. Bold here doesn't mean arrogant. Boy, I'm going to walk into this room and I'm going to show everybody who I am. Yeah, I'm the guy with the big truck outside and look at me. That's not being bold. That's called arrogant and conceited. Being bold, like a lion. Bold is deliberate, equal, or firm. Proverbs chapter 28, verse 1 reads, the wicked flee when no man pursueth, but the righteous are as bold as a lion. The righteous can be deliberate in purpose, deliberate in our walk, deliberate in our life, deliberate in our service to the Most High King. Philippians chapter 1, verse 14 reads, and many of the brethren in the Lord, waxing confident by my bonds, Paul was in prison for the Lord Jesus Christ, are much more bold to speak the word without fear. It says here in verse 30, a lion which is strongest among beasts and turneth not away. The lion. We're to be bold like the lion, not be bullied by any policy, not turned away for any. In other words, we're not to be bullied by policy, not to be intimidated by the world, Satan, or false doctrine. We can be firm. We can be deliberate. Like I said in Sunday school, there are times when we may get into a discussion with someone who does not know the Lord, maybe with someone who does not ever want to know the Lord. But that doesn't mean you get in a heated argument, a knockdown drag out, but you can still be bold and back off. Yes, I'm deliberate and I'm firm in my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, but that doesn't mean I'm going to steamroll you over with all my Bible knowledge. We can still be bold, but if someone doesn't want to listen, refuses to listen, it's not our position to make them listen. We cannot twist anybody's arm. We cannot force anyone to listen to the gospel. But we should give everyone a reason when they asketh of the hope that lies within us. And then have the Bible knowledge to explain it to them. Have the Bible knowledge so that they have confidence in the Word of God and gives us some validity to what we're saying. Be bold, like a lion, and not influenced by temptation, but be spurred on by the power and the promise and the provision of God. When we think of all what God has done for us in our lives, there's no reason not to be bold. and stand firm and say, wow, I know my Savior lives. I know my Redeemer lives. Praise God. Finally, my brethren, Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10, be strong in the Lord and the power of His might. Have we found ourselves walking with fear this morning, with apprehension, dread, anxiety, worrying, dismay, maybe even panic? Or are we walking like a lion, firmly, with a deliberate purpose in mind, glorifying our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ? He gives us another illustration here, Agur does. He says, a greyhound. These are comely. These are attractive to others for different reasons. That was one of my dad's one of the things he said a lot. And that's when you're in the pickup there and you say, are you clear? You know, and trying to see around the other guy. And he said, oh, you're clear except for a big dog. Well, it's a greyhound bus and the guy got killed. You know, that's... And we thought, oh boy, Dad, he's funny. And so every time, hey, are you clear? Yeah, nothing but a greyhound bus. And or a greyhound and, you know, nothing for a big dog. And so that reminds me of the greyhound. But a greyhound, I looked up the word how they got the greyhound, because you see brown greyhounds, you see dun-colored greyhounds, all kinds of color of greyhound. How did it get their name greyhound? Gray is an old word that means strong girt, tightly girt. Tightly girt. They're fit. It's a greyhound. No matter what color they are, they're gray. They're tightly girt. From the greyhound, the way we should walk, the illustration is to be fit. Fit is suitable, qualified, prepared. And a greyhound is fit and suitable and qualified to run a race. After that little lure thing, he looks like a rabbit. Now he's running. Now they're running after a little rag. Go round and round a circle. Greyhound. A greyhound is also, there are two kinds of hounds. There's a scent hounds and sight hounds. And a greyhound is a sight hound. They hunt by sight. You see the old hound dogs and that, they get their nose to the ground. But sight hounds, they get their heads up and they're looking. And so they were used for open field hunting, whether it be rabbits or whatnot. They were sight hounds. And they were tightly girt. They were fit. What can we learn about the greyhound is to be fit with vision. Proverbs chapter 29, verse 18, where there is no vision, the people perish. My people, Hosea chapter 4, are destroyed for lack of knowledge because thou hast rejected knowledge. Isn't that something? The people of God in those days, they were destroyed. Not because they were ignorant, they were destroyed because they rebelled against God and they did not want God's knowledge. They did not want to obey. But the greyhound teaches we've got to have vision. Matthew chapter 9, verse 36, our Lord and Savior, it says, but when He saw the multitudes, He was moved with compassion. And like the sight hound, we should have our heads up with vision. And the greyhound was a sight hound, but also he had stamina for the race because he was tightly girt, he was fit. Know ye not that they which run in a race, 1 Corinthians chapter 9, run in a race, run all, but one receiveth the prize? So run that ye may obtain. Our race this morning in this thing called life, I'm not racing against Caitlin. She'd win. So I'm not going to race against her. But our race, our spiritual walk this morning, our spiritual race, is our own race. We need not to compare ourselves with each other. Because the ones that aren't snuff with me, humble old me, oh boy, that creates problems. What about those ones in their spiritual race? Oh boy, they're more spiritual than I am. Then we're human beings. It causes conflict. This is our race. And we all run it at different paces. We run it. But a lot of times, if not more times than not, we don't run it like we should. Because we're rebels. We're sinners. And even though we're saved by grace, we know the Lord Jesus Christ is Savior, we don't run it like we should. But Paul says to run it like we should obtain. Only one's going to get the prize, so run it. And a greyhound, if we're fit like a greyhound, we're going to give it our 110%. The race isn't over till the last greyhound crosses the line. The race isn't over when the first hound crosses the line. It's over when the last one crosses the line, and we should run it to that we might obtain the prize. The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1, let us lay aside every weight and the sin that which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience that the race is set before us. Let us lay aside every heavy weight. Every weight that's heaviness, that keeps us, holds us back, that slows us down. If we have a burden this morning, whether it be of sin, maybe we know not Christ as Savior. It's holding us back. It's weighing us down. We should get rid of that. And it says also here, with the sin that so easily beset us. Beset is entangles. How many here know what kick the can is? How many have played kick the can? Notice we're all over 50. I don't know if they do. They play kick the can anymore? Do you guys play kick the can? Oh, you do. Put it there.
My sister.
Your sister? Oh, she makes it. But it's a fun game, though, isn't it? Yeah, it's a kick the can was great. So I remember one time, my twin brother, he was guarding a can, and so. We were at a friend's house down the road, and so I'm darker than the inside of a cow, and I was behind a tree or something, and all of a sudden he found me, and we're running to the can. I tripped over something, hit the dirt, went like that. Meanwhile, right when I tripped, I hear this, and my brother goes down. Well, it was a barbed wire fence. And where I had run, it was down. My twin brother, he hit the whole thing. And I mean, I didn't care. I kicked the can. I kicked the can. But he couldn't get to the can because he was entangled in the fence. And the Bible says to lay aside every weight of the sin that easily besets us, not get tangled in the things of the world, then we're not able to run the race like the greyhound. But let us run with patience. In other words, endurance, with the stamina of a greyhound, to be fit like a greyhound. Have we been walking with a heavy burden this morning? Are we walking with a heavy burden? Is there any one of us here this morning who's entangled in sin that keeps us from running that race? Hey, there's good news. You can get rid of that sin. You can confess it before the Lord. And the Bible says if we confess our sin, He is just and faithful to forgive us of our sin and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And bang, we're ready, just like the greyhound, fit to run the race again. Suitable for the Master's purpose. What's the next animal here for illustration? Let's see, a lion. In verse 31, a greyhound. A he-goat also. You know, over at Avalanche between, let's say, Hellgate and White's Gulch. It used to be a lot of goats there, mountain goats. And you'd see the ewes and the kids, and they'd be romping around and this and that, and they were cute to watch. But you know, the billy goats were a little different. They sat there sure-footed, and they didn't romp around like the little kid goats. And so it says here, be like a he-goat, to be sure. The he-goats, they effortlessly and sure-footed went over those limestone rocks. You know where how many know where I'm talking about? Over there. And they don't slip and fall. They don't, you know, like we stumble. They, every foot is purposely, boom, bang, and they're sure-footed. And Agur tells Ithiel and Ucal to look to the he-goat, to be secure. Are we secure in the Lord this morning? When the Bible calls us saved or delivered, that means forever. If you're here this morning and know not Christ as Savior, you're in the right place once again this morning. Because it doesn't matter what religion says. It does not matter what a Baptist preacher says in a Baptist church. It does not matter what the TV or radio or magazines say about eternal life. What matters is what the Bible says. And so this preacher will tell you what the Bible says, but please, please, please go look in the Bible for yourself. Don't trust me. Trust the Word of God. The Word of God says that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Every one of us here is a sinner. Oh, but I go to a Baptist. These guys go to a Baptist. We're sinners. Every one of us. And the Bible says the wages of sin is death. It's eternal separation from God. When you die, the minute your heart stops, you will go to one of two places, either heaven or hell. Now, the body's still here on earth. It's either going to get cremated or buried or whatnot. But your soul, who you are, is going to go to heaven or hell. The Bible says, for it is appointed unto man once to die, and then the judgment. And if you're here this morning, you're unsure whether you would go to heaven or hell, then the Bible says you can know. These things were written that you may know you have eternal life. And this is how you attain, not obtain, or rather, this is how you obtain eternal life. You don't attain it by working for it. This is how you obtain it. It's a cliffhanger, isn't it? This is how you obtain eternal life. You know you're a sinner, and you go to Jesus Christ. You say, Lord, please forgive me. I am a sinner. I'm trusting you to take away my sin. I know you're the only one that can take away my sin. I believe that you died for my sin on the cross, that you rose again. It's by faith in Jesus Christ. For by grace you are saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. None of us could ever work our way to heaven. We fall short. But Jesus Christ paid the penalty of our sin. And He only asks us to come to Him by faith, trusting Him as Savior. Are we secure this morning in Jesus Christ? If we were to die this morning, would we go to heaven when we die? Are we trusting what the Bible says? Are we trusting Jesus Christ with our life? Are we trusting Jesus Christ with our death? We're to be like the he-goat, secure. And when we're secure, we can tell others. When we're secure, we can live that life without fear or apprehension. We're to go or walk secure or sure in the promise of Christ. Verse 30, a lion which is the strongest among beasts and turneth not away for any, a greyhound, a he-goat also, and a king. That's our fourth illustration this morning, a king against whom there is no rising up. Why is there no rising up? Because this king is a righteous king. This king is equitable with those around him. That's why there's no rising up. And this king walks confidently. In other words, the illustration here, God wants us to be confident. A king is victorious over his enemies and equitable with his people. And a king is confident in victory. Psalm 98, verse 1, oh, sing unto the Lord a new song, for he hath done marvelous things. His right hand and his holy arm hath gotten him the victory. We are to be confident in the victory that Jesus Christ has given himself and has passed on to us. Because the victory of Christ, he's destroyed the works of the devil. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 14, that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is, the devil. And Jesus Christ has defeated Satan himself. Not only that, but Jesus Christ has defeated death. He says, I am the Alpha and the Omega of Revelation, verse 1, the beginning and the ending, saith the Lord, which is, which was, which is to come. Jesus Christ is coming again. I have no doubt. He's coming again. He says, I am he that liveth. I was dead. Behold, I am alive forevermore. Jesus Christ has defeated death. And he's given us the victory over sin. Whosoever is born of God does not commit sin. I thought you said we're just sinners. Yeah, we are sinners. And guess what? When we as children of God do wrong, God looks not at Russ McCurdy. He sees his son, Jesus Christ. And it's the seed. It's the born again. We're born again. We're brand new. We're born of the seed of God. And the seed of God can't sin. That's why we are secure. Because we're going to heaven when we die. Because of Jesus Christ. He's given us the victory over sin. Won't he be glad when we get a new and glorified body? Then there's no way our flesh will sin either. And he's given us the victory over death. Death is swallowed up in victory, 1 Corinthians 15. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? Thanks be to God who giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. What shall we say to these things, Romans chapter 8? If God be for us, who can be against? He's given us the victory, and as a lion, or as a king rather, as a king, we can walk confidently because we're in Christ, the victor. Jesus loves me, he forgives me, he keeps me, and he's taken me home. I am going to be with Jesus. Do we walk like kings? Are we confident in the words of God? We're going to have an invitation here shortly. God asked this question, how are you going this morning? How are we going? Are we going well? Are we walking well with the Lord? What about this? Where are you going? If you were to die today, would you go to heaven or would you go to hell? If you want to know that heaven is your home, you can come forward this morning and ask, come forward and someone will show you in the Bible how you can know that heaven is your home. How are we going? Are we walking well? Is my life... We should ask our question this question this morning. Is my life attractive to others in spite of my circumstances? In spite of my being devoured by this thing called life? Is my life attractive to others? Am I a UCAL being devoured? Or am I like Ithaca or UCAL? Knowing that God has arrived in my life and I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. These examples illustrate that we're to be bold like a lion. We're to be fit with vision like a greyhound, and we're to be sure and secure in the Lord Jesus Christ like the he-goat. And be confident like the king that we are victorious only through Jesus Christ our Lord. Let's pray. Lord, I thank you for this day. I thank you for this time of service. Lord, I thank you for your words, and I thank you, Lord, that you are coming again. All these promises in your Bible, I pray, Lord, that we respond to them. I pray for those of us who are being devoured by this life. I pray that we can be bold and confident and sure and secure in you. Please, Lord, help us. Help us come to you this morning that we once again can renew the promises of the good life with you. For those of us, those here this morning, rather, that may not be saved, may not know you as Savior, I pray, Lord, that you work in someone's life this morning. At the very least, let them know that heaven is not their destiny if they don't trust you, Lord. Maybe, Lord, give them the wherewithal to come forward so that they can know they have eternal life. We thank you, Lord, for dying on the cross for our sins. We thank you for your word, and we thank you for your kindness you have bestowed toward us. Lord, please bless this invitation in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Page 370 this morning, if you stand and turn to page 370. 370.
I need thee every hour, O gracious Lord. No tender voice like thine can peace afford. I need thee, oh, I need thee. Every hour I need thee. Oh, bless me now, my Savior. I come to thee. Patience, I need thee, oh, I need thee. Every hour I need thee. Oh, bless me now, my Savior. I come to thee. I need thee every hour in joy or pain. Come quickly and revive, for life is vain. I need thee, oh, I need thee. Every hour I need thee.
Why'd you come this morning?